Well, hello, it's just being a talk up. I'll introduce myself. I'm Don Hoover from Rutgers University. My co-authors in this talk, and there's a lot of them, are Aisha Kinshigyon. I'm very proud I pronounced that name correctly. Steve Crystal, Jamie Walkup, Jonathan Prince, and Judy Lucas, and I don't know. Wow, they got this up already. This is quickly. Now, how do I push the arrows? Okay. I have a laser pointer that I was going to bring, but, you know, the family, we play with the cat with the laser pointer, you know, and so we kind of lost it. So welcome to my world. But I will come over here and point with my hand. Can you guys at the end see this at all? Okay, the one thing is we're talking about Medicare inpatient care for the elderly. I'm really talking about non-dementia psychiatric illness, which I'll explain with the background. Psychiatric illness, I'm sure we all got an idea what that is. Well, there's dementias where the cognitive function goes down. But then there's non-dementias such as depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, substance abuse, and Medicare has different reimbursement guidelines for this and different etiologies. And so we're going to talk about non-dementia psychiatric illnesses. NDPI is the abbreviation, taking those letters. So we're talking about the elderly, Medicare, and inpatient stay. So NDPI is prevalent in the elderly. There's a lot of non-dementia psychiatric illness. People think about dementias being high in the elderly, but 20% of the elderly are depressed, alone. There's substance abuse, anxiety disorders, and in fact, these non-dementia illnesses tend to be underdiagnosed. So it's important, you know, that we diagnose and treat these. And of course, Medicare is a primary payer for the elderly. So if we look at what's going on with inpatient care funded by Medicare, we're going to figure out or know what's going on in the elderly. An interesting aspect of this that I learned getting into this analysis is there's actually different treatment facilities for somebody that has psychiatric illness. And these facilities weren't planned out in clinical trials or things like that. They kind of evolved in the market. If I'm diagnosed with depression, say, I could be sent to a general hospital to be treated, general hospital beds. The person next to me could be treated for influenza or a broken leg, but I'm part of the general population. Or if I need rehabilitative care, not for the psychiatric illness per se, but for something else, but my main problem is a psychiatric illness, I could be sent to a skilled nursing facility to have my treatment done there. And again, there would be other patients who have non-psychiatric illnesses in there. This is why I call these two general treatment facilities. Well, there's some facilities that are specialized to psychiatric care. The first of these is what I'm calling a psychiatric care unit. Now, this is a unit that exists in a general hospital, but it's its own wing, its own floor, and there's only psychiatric patients. If I'm sent there with depression, everybody next to me is also a psychiatric patient. And then finally, there's freestanding, long-stay psychiatric hospitals, separate hospitals, that's all they treat are psychiatric patients. So we're going to see they have different reimbursement guidelines for these facilities. There's different market pressures because these don't necessarily have to treat psychiatric patients. They can treat other types of patients, and these facilities can treat patients with dementia. And there's this complicated market thing going on as to who treats what, and then there's different reimbursement guidelines. Leading into that, Medicare Part A reimbursement guidelines, this is going to influence inpatient care. Well, these are restrictive guidelines that change over time, and for psychiatric illnesses, non-dementia in particular, Medicare guidelines tend to be more restrictive than they are for other types of illnesses. Interesting thing is these guidelines differ by facility size. There's something called a prospective payment system. I can't get into the complexity of this, but to oversimplify it, if I'm diagnosed with depression and I go into one of these two hospitals, General Hospital Bed or SNF, once my ICD-9 code is given to Medicare, Medicare will say, the reimbursement is $5,000, that's it, no negotiation. These types of hospitals are under this. Other hospitals, the long-stay hospitals and acute psychiatric units, they can say, well, here are the services and things like that, and dicker with Medicare to get more money back. These are more restrictive. Furthermore, Medicare tends to restrict long-stay hospitals and SNS. I can't be treated more than 30 days a year and covered by Medicare for a non-dementia psychiatric illness in a long-stay hospital or SNS, and 190 days, that's my lifetime maximum. Well, there are other factors influencing inpatient care. I'm sure everybody's heard of managed care. It occurred in the late 1980s. Even though the patients we're studying here are on Medicare, they're not on managed care. the effect of managed care has been so strong and so pervasive, it just changes the whole system, and it's believed to lower costs for everybody and duration. There's also new drugs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They work well against depression and other types of illnesses. It's believed these are going to reduce both the need for inpatient care and duration. Now, a lot of people have looked at recent changes in inpatient care, hospitalization, and days for a lot of illnesses, heart disease, AIDS, HIV. All of these have declined recently. This is believed to be due to managed care. Some people have looked at dementia and non-dementia psychiatric illnesses thrown in together, and they've actually seen some decline there. If I'm diagnosed with a dementia or a non-dementia illness in 1990 and I go to the hospital, on average I stay 26 days. This declined to 10 days. This was in 1992. I stayed 26 days. In 2002, this declined to about 10 days. So the objective of this talk is we want to look at Medicare Part A, the primary payer for the elder, expenditures and cover days for non-dementia psychiatric care. And again, we want to focus on non-dementia psychiatric care. It's got different etiologies and reimbursement guidelines than do dementia. What are our methods? This is going to be a little bit more of a numerical talk than maybe the others are, but I'm going to try to make you think that you're not seeing numbers. I don't know that I'm going to succeed. Well, look, our study population is the elderly Medicare beneficiaries. We have this in the Medicare Provider Analysis and Review files. This is a part of population of convenience. This is who we could get the data on. But we believe what's going on in the elderly is probably also going to be true for the non-elderly as well. By the way, the unit of observation is the inpatient stay. If I'm diagnosed with depression in January of 1992, go to the hospital and discharge, and then go back in June and I'm discharged again, I have two stays. Both of those stays are in the data set. Multiple stays per patient is not very common. It's only about 15%. How do we know what the NDPI diagnoses are? Well, we have in our data set ICD-9 codes. I'm not going to go into this much, but we subdivided non-dementia psychiatric illnesses into these types. Again, the primary illness had to be non-dementia psychiatric illness. My primary, if I have a heart attack, I'm being treated for that, and I'm also depressed. I don't appear in there because most people do it this way, and there's some issues. We might miss a few, but probably not a lot this way. So what are we interested in? Well, I talked about the facilities. We want to know what's going on in general hospitals, skilled nursing facilities, SNF, psychiatric units of general hospitals, long-stay facilities. Facility ownership is also interesting. Different ownerships might handle the economic pressures and regulations differently. And we've got nonprofit hospitals, for-profit hospitals, and finally, government-run hospitals. Our economic outcomes of interest are Medicare covered days. Per stay, if I go in, on average, how much is Medicare paid? How many days does it pay? And of course, the dollars, that's very important. How much is billed to Medicare Part A? We don't have the final amounts because Medicare and the hospitals don't get together until about 2 years afterwards to adjudicate everything, so we just have the interim payments, but these are pretty close to the final amounts. And we inflation adjusted 1992 dollars to 2002 dollars. Result, well, let's look at just an overall summary, number of beneficiaries, number of stays, and number of stays per beneficiary. United States, population is growing older, so the number of beneficiaries increased from 28 million to 28.5 million. In spite of this increase, the number of inpatient stays for non-dementia psychiatric illness, they dropped from about 194,000 to about 183,500, so a decline of 10,500. This corresponds to about, for every 100,000 beneficiaries, in 1992, there were about 700 non-dementia psychiatric illness inpatient stays. This dropped to about 650 per 100,000 in 2002. I'm going to skip over that. We're going to go to breaking this down by facility type. And again, we have 194,000 stays in 1992. Looking at psychiatric units in general hospitals, these are both within the general hospital. These are beds where I'm thrown in with other people with other illnesses. This is where I'm sent to a specific unit where there's only psychiatric patients. Collectively together, they account for about 70% of all non-dementia psychiatric illness patient stays in 92. And they account for about 70% again in 2002, but there's kind of a shift here. The number of patients being sent or stayed in psychiatric hospitals. Oh boy, better hurry up. Facility ownership, basically looking at nonprofit, government, and profit, we've got about the same distribution in 92 and 2002. And for profit, something real interesting is happening. We look at just those states and for-profit facilities. 1992, half of those states were in long-stay facilities. But long-stay facilities got out of the for-profit business. This goes down to 20% in 2002. What we see increases. The number of for-profit stays in skilled nursing facilities tripled to 13,000. Most skilled nursing facility stays are for-profit institutions. And the psychiatric units, those stays doubled. Ownership. What about mean Medicare expenditures in days? Well, looking at all the states collectively, costs go down. From 85,000 on average in 1992 to 6,200 in 2002. And the days per stay, they drop from about 15 on average. A stay lasted 15 days in 92. It drops about 3 days to about 12 in 2002. So we see, as we expected, declines. Kind of some interesting patterns broken down by type of facility. Probably the more severe patients are being sent to psychiatric units and long-stay facilities. They cost an average about $10,000 per stay. They drop about $3,000 per stay to about $7,000 per stay from 1992 to 2002. General hospitals, you see the same thing. These are probably less severe patients. They cost about $5,500 in 92. They drop about $2,000 to $3,770. What's interesting is we see this increase in cost for skilled nursing facilities. They increase. They're bucking the trend. They're going up from 4,000 to 6,300. Other interesting things about SNFs, even though SNFs don't cost very much, the stays tend to be very long, so you get a lot of days for your dollar in there, and they remained at 26. Long stay facilities, about 17 days in 92. They declined about 3 days to about 13 in 2002. General hospitals, only 9 days. Per stay in 92, they declined quite a bit to about half that amount, 5.5 in 2002. Discussion. Well, what did we see? General hospital use and long stay hospital use declined, and we're not quite sure what that is, whether, you know, they found more more difficult to get reimbursement from Medicare, other patients were more profitable, so they substituted. But on the other hand, psychiatric unit and skilled nursing facility use increased. And this is in spite of the fact that there are a lot of Medicare regulations that restrict putting psychiatric, non-dementia psychiatric patients in SNFs. And interestingly enough, these shifts are mostly occurring in the for-profit sector. The mean days per stay declined by about 3 from 92 to 2002. The mean expenditures per stay declined by about 2,254. I didn't show this, but we looked at all demographic subgroups, age, gender, race, and all the different types of diagnosis. These declines, it's like the tides going down. These declines in cost and days are occurring everywhere. They're occurring in all the facility types, except interesting for skilled nursing facilities where the expenditures are increasing. What does this mean? We don't know. I hope maybe some of you know, but clearly what we think this suggests is that there's cost-cutting strategies going on, and there's also some shifts to outpatient settings that the patients are more likely to be treated outpatient rather than inpatient. The other thing is the science-based facility-based reimbursement guidelines for Medicare. So these market factors that are going on, not only what's going on with treating non-dementia psychiatric illness patients, but other patients, dementias and other types that the facilities could bring in. Instead, I think that's evidenced by the fact that number of stays and cost per stays in skilled nursing facilities is going up. And we believe these patterns here may also reflect what is happening for the non-elderly as well, non-dementia psychiatric illness care as well, so they may be generalizable. Thank you.